Well, she was brought to chapel from a young age. She went three times on a Sunday, Sunday morning. She went to the Sunday school in the afternoon, and she went at night also. She was baptized in her late teens, and in her 20s, she became an active member of the chapel. She liked the people. She loved singing the hymns. She took on roles within the fellowship, and there were different things going on. There was a knitting group that she was part of, a ladies' meeting. She sometimes spoke at, but she tended only to attend that ladies' meeting when she was speaking. And she felt at home in the chapel. But then one day, at a church members' meeting, the lady burst out in anger in front of all the members of the church. She flew up in a rage. She said, "Why has the knitting group stopped?" Well, the knitting group had become a place of gossip. It needed to stop. "And why don't I speak anymore at the ladies' meeting?" Well, she had hardly been attending it and never came to the prayer meeting. And she gave a torrent of what she felt was now wrong with the church and people that she were new people that she didn't like. Now, why do I share that story with you? Well, today we're looking at the elder brother. And the elder brother felt hard done by. He felt that his father had overlooked him. He felt that he'd been for many years faithful. He'd been a good member of the household. He'd partaken in the things of the family. But his younger brother, well, he was totally the opposite. His younger brother had left home at an early age, and he'd shown such disrespect to his father, brought shame upon the family, and he just couldn't understand how his father rejoiced when his younger brother came home. We read these words here in Luke chapter 15, verse 28. "He was angry and would not go in." The elder brother couldn't accept the younger brother. He wouldn't go into the party. He wanted to stay out in the cold. He wanted nothing to do with his younger brother. And he was angry with his father. He was angry and would not go in. Therefore, his father came out and pleaded with him. So he answered and said to his father, "Lo, these many years I have been serving you. I've done all that you asked me to. If you asked me to go out into the field and to work there, I did it. If you asked me to work in the house, I did it. I've been serving you all these years. I have never transgressed your commandment at any time. And yet you never gave me a young goat that I may make merry with my friends. But as soon as this son of yours came, who has devoured your livelihood with harlots, you killed the fatted calf for him." He was angry. He was bitter. He was jealous. He was upset. Well, this is the parable that we're going to look at this day. And we need to ask, why did Jesus tell a parable in this way? Speaking not only of the lost son, the profligate son, the son that had lived a debauched life, but also telling us about the older son who was jealous and bitter and angry. Would you remember the beginning of the chapter? There were two types of people. There were the tax collectors and the sinners who wallowed in sin, who'd been prostituting themselves or been cheating others, and it didn't matter. Life was about making money and about having a good time. And Jesus ate and drank with them and offered them forgiveness. But there was also the religious people, the members of the household, the Jewish household. There were the Pharisees. And there were the scribes. And the Pharisees and the scribes, "Come on in, you're very, very welcome. There's room upstairs or here at the front, but it's lovely to see you. Come on in, that's great to see you. That's lovely. And there's a Sunday school if you'd like out there, but the kids are fine to stay here. It's lovely to see you. It's great. Okay. Lovely. We're just looking at a parable in the New Testament, the parable of the prodigal son, the lost son. And we're thinking about the older brother. And the older brother represents the religious Pharisees. And the religious Pharisees, they wanted nothing to do with the sinners. They looked down upon them. They despised them. You know, there are some people in church like that. They come along to church and they feel that they're better than others. They feel that they keep the commandments of God. And they look down on, despise people who are in the gutters. And if these people come to church, we don't want to sit next to them. We don't want to, they smell a bit, or they don't look like us. They haven't got the right clothes on. And they're the ones who've really sinned, not like us. So today we're concentrating upon the elder brother in this parable of the lost son. There's two sons, the youngest son and the oldest son. And it's a warning to us. A person can be a baptized member of a church and yet resentful and proud and cut off from God and from heaven. And Jesus said this, he warned the religious people of his day, many on that last day when I come again will say, Lord, Lord, we have done this in your name. We've prophesied, we've preached in your name. We've cast out demons in your name. But he will say on that last day, Jesus said, I will say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, for I never knew you. You see, God knows the heart. And though people may be outwardly religious and in church and in chapel, God knows their hearts and what they're like. And many will say, Lord, Lord. They may be orthodox in their belief. Say, Jesus is Lord. And yet, though they may have done many things in his name, on that last day they will be cast out. So this morning we're going to look at two things as we consider the elder brother. First of all, a heart revealed. We're going to look at the heart of this elder brother. But then we're going to look at the father's response, because I don't want us to lose the joy of this parable. You see, the parable is a wonderful parable. It's about sinners who are lost being brought home, and it's about a loving father. Last time we saw the sorrow of the father's heart as the child went away. And then we saw the love of the father's heart in receiving the child back with open arms, kissing him, falling upon his neck, robing him, putting a ring upon his finger. And we saw the joy of the father rejoicing that his lost son was now found. And I don't want us to lose the sense of the parable. And in fact, that's the way the parable ends, verses 31 and 32. It reminds us of the work of Jesus Christ, who has come to seek and to save that which was lost. And that is why it's right that we rejoice over sinners being saved. So first of all then, a heart revealed, and then secondly, a father's response. Heart revealed. Notice that this older brother has no real relationship with his father. Though a member of the family, though one who's never left home, his attitudes show and reveal that he has no real relationship with his father. You see, when he hears the music and the dancing, he doesn't go in to inquire. He sends a servant instead. Now, of course, it could be that he'd been out in the fields and he was dirty and he didn't want to go in, and so he sends a servant on his behalf. But the fact that he never goes in and his father has to come out to him shows that there's something deeply wrong between him and his father. And then the way in which he speaks to his father, blaming his father, implying that his father is showing discrimination. His father is favoring his younger brother and he's sidelining him. That wasn't the case. And the way in which he speaks to his father with no respect, with no love. You see, although he's a member of the household, and although he's the eldest, and the eldest have many privileges, his attitudes reveal that he's estranged from his father. Now, examine your heart. Is there anybody here like the elder brother? You could say, well, I've been a member of a church or a chapel for many years, been baptized, take communion, But I would like to ask you, is there real prayer in your life? Have you a relationship with God the Father through Jesus? Examine your life. Do you pray? Do you pray each day? Do you talk to God? Do you listen to him as he speaks to you through his word? Do you love him? One of the first signs of somebody who's a real follower of God and born again is that they have a desire for God and they speak to him in prayer. And the barrier of their sin has been broken through Jesus Christ, and they have access into the presence of God. The elder brother represents religious people who have no real relationship with their father. But then let's look a little bit more about the heart of this older brother. He's resentful, isn't he? Resentful and envious of the blessings that his younger brother receives. He feels that his younger brother doesn't deserve them. His younger brother has wasted his life. Why should he receive a robe, a new robe? Why should he have the ring of his father on his finger, the ring of authority? Why should he have new sandals? Why should he be treated again as a member of the household? He just doesn't deserve it. And why on earth should they throw a party and kill the fatted calf? And then he says, well, Father, you've never done any of these things for me. It's not fair. He's resentful and he's envious. Examine your life. Do you envy the blessings that other people have? Is that a trait in your life? Now, I'm not saying at times that happens to us, and if it does, we need to confess it will happen to everybody, because we're all sinners. But is this a dominant trait in your life? Somebody gets a promotion at work, and they're blessed, but you can't get over it. Why that person, and why not me? A neighbour has a better job, has a better car, seems to be getting on so well in life. And you think, well, that neighbour, that sort of person, you despise them. And there's envy in your heart for them. Do you live in that sort of way? Often envy and resentment is in your heart. The Pharisees, they lived for the prestige and honour of the crowd. They wanted to be well thought of. They didn't like it when Jesus was popular. They didn't like it when so many people followed him. They were envious. And Jesus in this parable is exposing their hearts. But what else can we say about this younger brother? He's full of ingratitude. You see, verse 12 tells us right at the beginning of the parable that he himself had already received his side of the inheritance. Look at this. The younger brother says, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. So he divided them his inheritance, both of them. And the elder brother got two-thirds. Jewish law was that the older brother would receive twice as much as the others. So he gets two-thirds and his younger brother gets a third. It's already there. So this accusation that you've never given me a young goat that I may make merry with my friends is a false accusation. He's making out that his father is mean. This older brother is ungrateful. He's had so many privileges. His father has already been so kind to him. And yet there's no thankfulness. And Jesus there again is speaking about the Pharisees and the Jews as a whole. They'd received so much. They'd received God's holy law. The Ten Commandments. In written form, on tablets of stone. The nations didn't have them inscribed in that way for them. They'd received all the promises of God, promises that a Messiah was coming. The Gentiles hadn't received God's word. They'd had all the holy prophets given to them. And God had made a covenant with them, the smallest of all the nations. He'd chosen Israel. And the Messiah was to come through the Jewish nation. They were so blessed, and yet so unthankful, so ungrateful, so hard towards Gentile peoples, so looking down upon the foreigner, so against the outcast. Instead of being grateful to God for all of their blessings, they were often characterized by murmuring and complaining and unbelief. Look at verse 2 again of Luke 15. Here they are, the Pharisees and the scribes, and they're complaining that Jesus would eat with tax collectors and sinners. Again, examine your heart. I've asked you a question. What are you like this morning? Are you in any way like the elder brother? In a permanent way? Is this often that there's no prayer in your life, no real relationship with the Father? You cannot rejoice in the blessings of others. Instead, you're resentful. And there's no real gratitude in your heart. You often murmur and complain. But then look at verse 30. There's another thing that we learn about the heart of the older brother. He's uncompassionate and unforgiving. Look at this, verse 30. But as soon as this, your son of yours came. Notice, he doesn't say, my brother. As soon as my brother came home, he can't bring himself to talk about his brother. As soon as this, you're the son of yours. Look at him, this son of yours. There's no compassion in his heart. And perhaps he puts the worst of possible constructions upon his brother. We assume that he probably had been living a life of going around with women and drink and partying. But maybe it hadn't gone that low. We're not actually told. But this older brother, he says the worst that he possibly can about his younger brother. Maybe he's exaggerating. Maybe he's magnifying the sins of his younger brother. There's no compassion in his heart, no pity, only scorn. And again, I ask you, do you focus upon the faults of others? And do you put the worst possible construction upon their lives and their faults? Do you exaggerate their faults? You see, you can be a member of the household and have a heart like this, unforgiving. Now, Jesus told another parable. A king, he had a servant. His servant owed him 10,000 talents of silver, a huge debt. We might put that in terms of millions of pounds today. A huge debt that he just could not pay. And the king demanded that he paid, and he paid with his life. He would have to give himself in slavery, and his wife and his children would have to give themselves to the king to be his slaves. That man got down on his knees before the king, before the master, and said, have patience with me and I will repay everything. And in the story that Jesus told, the king had compassion upon him and released him totally of his debt, forgave him everything. But then that man went out and he had a servant, a fellow servant, who owed him just 100 denarii, maybe £50 or so. But he takes him by the throat and says, you will pay me what you owe. The man pleads and he uses the same words, Master, have patience upon me and I will repay you. But he has this fellow servant of his thrown into prison. Now, when the king heard of that, he was angry. I forgave you everything, and you would not forgive your fellow servant of this small debt. So Jesus says, take him. The king says, take him and deliver him to the torturers. And Jesus says this, so my heavenly Father will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. Are you bearing a grudge this morning? Is there somebody in your life that you have never forgiven? And you've said, and I will never forgive them. Well, if God has provided in Jesus Christ forgiveness for all of our sins, how dare we say that we will not forgive others? And God has said that if we do not forgive others from our hearts sincerely, God will not forgive us. Warren Wiersbe, a famous American preacher, he said this, that he'd seen many people who'd left his church, alienated themselves from God and from his people because of a failure to forgive. So we've seen a heart revealed this morning, cut off from God, resentful, ungrateful, and unforgiving. But lastly, the key thing about this older son is that he's self-righteous. Look at him. Verse 29, "Lo, these many years I've been serving you. I have never transgressed your commandments at any time." Do you think that was true? Do you think that he'd really been so pleasing and obedient in everything? Well, he may have done many things that were correct. But of course he hadn't obeyed his father in everything. And the spirit of this man was this: because I have obeyed, I feel entitled. I feel owed. I'm deserving. And that's the spirit of many people who come to church. Because I've done this, because I've done that, because I'm the other thing, because I've been so many years faithful, I'm owed this. And it's a religion of works. It's not a religion of grace. It's not a religion of the kindness and the love and the goodness of God. It's a religion of you doing your hardest and thinking that God owes you something and others owe you something as a result. Now, Jesus told another parable of workers in a vineyard, and this man went out and hired people. He hired some people at the beginning of the day, and he said, "I'll give you this, whatever it was, one denarii, one drachma, that's your wage for today." They came early in the morning. Another person came a little later in the morning, agreed the wage, one denarii. Another person came maybe 11 o'clock in the morning, agreed the wage, one denarii. Another person came midday, let's say, and agreed the wage. Then at the end of the day, they came to receive their wages. And the person who'd worked the longest and the hardest just could not understand and accept why he should receive exactly the same wage as the person who'd worked the least. And the man said, "Didn't you agree for one denarii? And why should you be jealous? Why should your eye be evil that I've been generous and kind to this person who's just worked a little?" Somebody becomes a Christian after many years of a life of sin. And they've been 40, 50 years in the world. And God blesses them with salvation. And they have a gift to preach. And soon they're found preaching the word of God. And some say, "Why? Why should that person be preaching when I've been all the years a faithful member of this chapel?" But it's all about grace, isn't it? And it's all about the goodness of God. And in one sense, it's nothing to do with preaching. It's all to do with finding salvation and God finding people and showering his blessing upon them. And we rejoice when that happens. So we've seen a heart revealed, a heart which is an ugly heart, the heart of the sinner, the heart of every person who's unregenerate. But I want us now to finish by looking at the response of the Father. Look at this, verse 28. When the Father comes out, he speaks with great love. He pleads with his son. It was interesting. He did not demand that his son, his older son, should come into him. He could have said, "What are you doing standing out in the cold? What are you doing refusing to come and join the party? What are you doing with this resentful heart? You need to come in. I'm not coming out to you. But the opposite happened. He came out. And he didn't tick him off. He pleaded with him. It's as if he's on his knees, pleading with him. Spurgeon says this, "I hardly know which to admire most, the love of the father when he fell on the neck of the prodigal, or the love of the father when he went out to talk to the elder son." What love he has for this son also. God loves not only the wayward sinner, but he loves the self-righteous hypocrite also. And he's not willing that any should perish. Someone else has said this, "The Father's tender plea was Jesus' own gentle plea to the Pharisees." Isn't it wonderful the way the Lord Jesus spoke to the Pharisees? At times he upbraided them and he needed to speak strongly. But other times he went in and sat down with them. And here's a gentle way of speaking to them. God still pleads with you. The heart of God aches over lost sons who go into a deep life of sin. The heart of God aches over the prodigal, but the heart of God aches also over the religious person who refuses to join fellowship with God's people and is angry. And then look at this, the way in which the parable ends. How does he speak to him? "Son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours." Again, he's conciliatory. He's reminding him of all the blessings that has been given to him. You see, it's love that breaks the heart of people. It's love that causes people to feel that they can come back to God. And then he says to him, "It was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother," it's not just my son, "but for your brother was dead and is alive again, was lost and is found." He says, "Come on in. Enjoy the party. Be joyful. It was right because your younger brother has been restored. He was dead in our minds, but he's alive now. He was lost, but he is found." Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. For lost sinners, he bled and he died. For lost sinners, he suffered so much upon the cross. For lost sinners, he took our shame and our pain and our blame. And he did it all for the joy that was set before him. For he knew on the cross he would rescue his people and he would be in heaven and they would be there with him, rejoicing with him. It's a true story of a mother whose daughter left home for a life of sin. For a long time, nobody knew where this girl was. But then after the time had gone, this girl repented. She turned to Jesus Christ and she came home to her mother. And somebody asked her mother this, "What did you do to bring her home?" Her mother said this, "I prayed night and day." And then she added, "I left the front door unlocked day and night, just in case she came home at night." You know, it was a night time that she came and found the door unlocked. There's a door that you can go through this day. You can come back to God today. That door is open for you. You've probably heard the little song, "There's a way back to God from the dark paths of sin." There's a door that is open, and you may go in. At Calvary's cross is where you begin when you come as a sinner to Jesus. So whether we're like the younger son or whether we're like the older son, there's a door that is open, and God wants us to come through and enter into fellowship with the Father. Amen.